Well, say good evening to you all, and I'm glad that y'all have me here tonight. I hate that Dan is sick, and that's the reason I'm up here. But I hope to do a good enough job that I don't bore anybody. But then again, I think that as long as you're proclaiming a message from God's word that he's with you, and I know y'all are not going to eat me afterwards. When Dan called me this morning in such short notice, I thought about doing a lesson that I'd done before at another church. But when I got to thinking about it, there's one that I had on my mind for a while. So after church today, I went home and managed to put it together. Our lesson this evening is on the blind, the deaf, the lame, and the dead. Maybe not in the context you're thinking of. Jesus performed many miracles while in his 3-plus years of ministry. Some are recorded that strengthened faith in his disciples. Some the faith of the people he was trying to reach. And all are done to bring us today to belief and obedience to God's will and salvation through him. Today we're going to look at a few and see implications to us, Christians, and the non-convert. My first point is on the blind. When you think about a blind person, we know that a blind person is one who cannot see. Whether he's born that way, or by some form of accident or trauma, or maybe a disease of the eye, such as a degenerative disease, or believe it or not, even with old age, it can happen. But I want us to consider a different form of blindness that many in Christ suffer, and that's spiritual blindness. In Matthew 15 and 14, Jesus told his disciples concerning the Pharisees, "Let them alone. They're blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a ditch." The Lord was not referring to their eyesight, but the blindness of their hearts. Condemning men over rules from a man's standards and not of God. Not recognizing the Father's will for obedience to the gospel. And there are so many of us today who are blind in the same way. We look for the faults of others while we ignore our own. If you would, Matthew 7, 3 through 5. "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye? Do not consider the plank that's in your own eye. Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye." Are we as Christians so blinded that we cannot see our own faults that need to be addressed without our seeking out to the shortcomings of others, our brothers and sisters. Maybe we should all think on that one. The second item was to consider the deaf. We recognize a deaf person as one who cannot hear audible sound. There can be different levels of deafness. Some can't hear high or low pitches. Some can't hear clearly when there's background noise. And some cannot hear anything at all. We know that Jesus healed people of physical deafness. Let's look at Matthew 11, 1 through 6. John the Baptist sent two of his disciples to Jesus asking, "Are you the coming one? Or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things that you see and hear. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he who is not offended in me." As we look at the message Jesus sent to John the Baptist, was it not more than the physical? Just as it is today, there are many deaf to the word of God. Not physically deaf, but mentally deaf. And chosen so. Some are in unbelief. Some because they ignore the truth when they do hear it. And others would rather believe in a lie than accept the truth of God's word. There is a heaven and there is a hell. Christ leads us in one direction and Satan the other. Isn't it incumbent on us to study and to share the Bible in the way of truth? My third point on the lame. When we see a lame person, we see one who cannot function physically. Some have a limp. Some get around with an aid of some kind, with some difficulty. Others are confined to a wheelchair, or even confined to a bed. Our Lord and Savior Jesus forgave and healed a paralytic. You'll find this in Mark 2, 1 through 12. Marks 2, 1 through 12. It's a little bit lengthy reading, but we're going to read it. And it says, "And again, he entered Capernaum after some days. And it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, They uncovered the roof. So when they had broken through, they led him down to the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes who were there reasoned in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemy like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned such things within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Our Lord and Savior forgave that paralytic man before he healed him. I think there's a message in that. I think that Jesus saw another need that needed to be addressed. And he forgave him his sins before healing his body. And it was all because of faith. Through faith, he not only received healing physically, but by forgiveness of sin, he was restored spiritually to his God. Forgiveness first, physical blessing to follow. A lesson for us. So let us not be lame spiritually. We need to have our hearts right with God through his Son. To receive blessings in the physical, just think about it. The blessing came after forgiveness. My fourth point was on the dead. We all know what death is. It's when our physical body no longer has a heartbeat or no longer has brain waves. Then we're declared dead. One cannot exist without the other. If we as human beings lose one or both functions, we are physically dead. There are many in our world who believe that when we die physically, that there's nothing else and there's no coming back. But the Word of God teaches us a different story. If you would, Luke 7, 11 through 17. Now it happened, the day after, that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. and a large crowd of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the hand in the open coffin. And those who carried the man stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. He presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people." And the report of this about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. If we've done any Bible study, you'll also recall Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead after he had been in tomb 4 days, and his sister declaring to him that, "Lord, by now he stinketh, for his body was decomposing." To the Christian, this shows us our Lord was chosen the master over death even before his death, burial, and resurrection. Before he ascended to heaven, he was our guiding light. So as we think about these things, the blinded, the deaf, the lame, and even the dead, we need to know that our Lord is over all. If you're here and you haven't become a Christian, consider this. Jesus heals the heart and the mind. If we commit our lives and souls to him, he receives us. He heals us. If we obey his commands, if we accept him, Lord and Savior, if we confess him as the Son of God, if we repent of our sins and are baptized in his name unto the Father, baptized to have our sins removed, put behind us, there no more. But then there's another thing. We have to live for him. Do all that we can to share him with others. And my dear Christian brothers and sisters, if you've been blinded, deaf, or lame of spirit, or even dead in faith, now's the time for healing. You can come and in his name be healed. The prayers of the church are here for you and whatever you need. So if you would, come forward as we sing.